Hour number three, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Tennessee Vols kick things off tonight against Ball State. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the legendary John Adams from the Knoxville News Sentinel. John, good morning. What's going on? How are you?
Well, I'm stuck in traffic right now. I was just telling Michelle that. But I'm sure you're much more used to that in Nashville than I am in Knoxville.
Well, it's not fun anywhere. I know that traffic always is enough to set me over the edge. So, John, what do you make of this Tennessee team heading into this season? Obviously, you know, Hooker coming back in at quarterback, Cedric Tillman at wide receiver. Lots of expectations for this offense. How do you view what Josh Heupel has at his disposal heading into year two?
Well, it's really a different setup than what we had last year going into the season opener. You had a new coach, a new quarterback, a very different offensive system. So many question marks. Now I think it's anticipation about how good will this offense be. I mean, they averaged 39.3 points per game last year with an offense that wasn't really overly talented. It was just kind of a kind of a new bunch. And so this year, with eight starters back, Hendon Hooker, a proven quarterback, I think there's an anticipation for a lot more points. Tennessee had 38 in its opener last year against Bowling Green. The Vols are certainly expected to exceed that against Ball State.
John, you've obviously seen so much, covered Tennessee for so long. What is your sense right now for the fan base at this moment and the fan base's view of Josh Heupel? I feel like there's been some premature excitement in with recent coaches, although there's been some encouraging signs too early from some of them. But do you feel like there's, I don't know, a little more caution based on recent experiences, or do you think this is already a full embrace?
It's kind of a It's kind of a mixed bag. I think because of Tennessee's recent past, well, go back all the way to 2008 now, so it's a long time where there have been raised expectations. Tennessee didn't meet them, so there was disappointment. So I think there is some caution amongst the fan base. On the other hand, people saw what this offense can do with, as I mentioned, a fairly ordinary cast. And I think people realize Josh Heupel's the best coach Tennessee's had in a long time. No questions about the defense. But Tennessee proved last year if it's playing a mediocre team or worse, it can just outscore it. Even if the defense has significant lapses, Tennessee is going to be able to pile on a lot of points and win the game. So I think that creates a lot of anticipation and optimism.
John Adams with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So John, Hendon Hooker last year, I mean, he had 31 touchdowns passing, 3 interceptions on the season. Obviously, you feel great about him being the quarterback this year. My question for you is, how much better do you think Hendon Hooker can be this year than he was a year ago?
Well, it's funny. As good a year as he had, I do think he can be better. Tennessee left off some points, missing deep balls. I think if Hendon can improve his touch on the deep ball, there are more points to be had. Because in Heupel's offense, receivers always seem to be open. I've seen few offenses where there's so many open receivers. So I think Hendon Hooker can put up even better numbers this year. And remember, he didn't become the starter until the third game last year.
John, how good can this defense be?
Probably not very. I just think it's at best an average defense. Maybe it will surprise me, but I don't see. I think it could improve its pass rush, but I really wonder about the secondary. I really wonder if it. Our last memory of this team, and I know it's a new season, but what Purdue did to Tennessee in the Music City Bowl, I mean, it just pretty much moved the ball at will. So I don't think the expectation for the defense is to be exceptional. It's just to be, if you could just be average and make a few more plays, it's not going to stonewall any really adept offenses.
John, I know there's a long way to go before they get there, but I'm just curious from your perspective as somebody who's watched this rivalry unfold over the last 25, 30 years and how one-sided it's been, how much pressure do you think is on Josh Heupel and this team this season to win against Florida to open up SEC play this year?
I think there is going to be some pressure, obviously, when Florida's won 16 of the past 17 games. And it's not only beating Tennessee with really good teams like the Con Urban Meyer and Steve Spurrier fielded. It's beating Tennessee with some really ordinary teams and some very ordinary coaches, Will Muschamp, Ron Zook, those kind of guys. So I think there is – Florida just can't be – I don't think Florida's going to be very good. It's breaking in a new coach, Billy Napier. So I think Tennessee fans are going to say, well, if Tennessee can't beat – win in this situation, when can it win? And so there will be pressure in that game.
John, one of the knocks on Josh Heupel coming in, and one of the things that concerned me about the hire was, you know, the although admittedly a small sample size, recruiting had not been great under him. It looked like it had kind of gone the wrong way at UCF compared with Scott Frost. And, you know, he doesn't come off as a super dynamic guy. Obviously, recruiting is going extremely well for Tennessee. We also know about the collective Spire Sports, and this is a different era of recruiting. First of all, what do you think of recruiting at Tennessee right now? And do you think that we will, I guess, evaluate coaches differently in that way as we move forward? And what I would presume would be more and more programs fully embracing whatever you can do in front-end NIL money.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think our recruiting has changed. Excuse me. Josh Heupel, I had the same questions about Josh Heupel coming in as you did as a recruiter. But if you have a very aggressive collective, which Tennessee does, and you can use that to your advantage in recruiting, the coach doesn't have to be as good a recruiter. And, he doesn't come across as dynamic, but in a way, Tennessee's had dynamic coaches in the past, and it didn't work out. I find him refreshing in that regard. So I think the timing is really good for him to be successful in recruiting because of the NIL era we're in.
John Adams from the Knoxville News Sentinel on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, John, I'm curious for your thoughts on this receiving room for Tennessee. What do you make of the group as a whole, and how big of a year do you think Cedric Tillman can have based on what we saw last year, but based on also defenses probably shading his way a little bit more often this year as well?
Yeah, going into last season, Cedric Tillman was just some guy. Nobody ever really had any great expectations for him. He hadn't played under any significant time under Jeremy Pruitt. So I think defenses are – he's got a reputation now, and so he's going to be one of those guys that defenses say, let him beat us. But I tell you, I think Tennessee's going to have really good alternatives in the Southern Cal transfer, Brew McCoy, and in Jalen Hyatt, who hasn't done that much in his first two seasons, but had a really good spring, and he's got the size and the speed. Tennessee's got three really good receivers, I think. And a real key is, can they handle aggressive defenses who really want to get up in their grill and jam them at the line of scrimmage? Because there's a lot of timing involved in Tennessee's passing game. I think they have the potential to do that.
If there's one position tonight, it could be a position battle like left tackle, or just one area that you really are interested in and maybe – you know, want to get an idea of before the Vols go to Pittsburgh next week, what would that area or position be, John?
I guess there too. I would be thinking about the secondary coverage, and I don't know if Ball State can exploit any weaknesses in a secondary. I think it's going to be pretty limited offensively. The other position would be, you mentioned it, left tackle, protecting Hendon Hooker's blind side. Gerald Mincy is a transfer from Florida. who didn't really do that well at Florida, and he's competing for the position. That's a question mark, but I don't know if we'll get the answer in the opener. I think we'll need to see Tennessee against Pittsburgh next week.
Well, John, we're looking forward to football being back in the state of Tennessee tonight. Thanks so much for taking time to join us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. John Adams, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll take your thoughts on the Vols, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, as they open up their season tonight. We'll get to that coming up next. Attention, men. Have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Miles joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Miles, what's going on?
Well, you heard yourself right. No pills, needles, injection, or surgery, otherwise known as the True Pulse Protocol. What we do is offer something called acoustic wave therapy, and it's a medical technology, not a pill, to help get you on the other side of ED. It's a machine. It sits on the skin where gentle pressure waves travel through the skin into the blood vessels, helping them to expand to allow for more blood flow, oftentimes seen regrowing and repairing the blood vessels themselves. We can get you on the other side of ED by treating it with the root cause.
So, Miles, what kinds of studies have been done on this wave therapy technology?
Well, if you log on to our website, we feature about 60 of them, and more of them are coming in every day. They're all placebo-controlled from 5 different countries. Cambridge has studied this, and so has the Cleveland Clinic. They're all calling it safe and effective. Some are even saying this should be the new standard of care for treatment of ED.
And, Miles, you've got a special offer for our listeners. Call in right now.
Always. Give us a call, and we will include your exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound for free, plus a gift we give you just for coming in. It provides powerful results in the bedroom. That's going to be free to you as well. All you got to do is log on to our website or give us a call at 615-576-5000, and we'll get you on the other side of ED quicker than you think.
That's right, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Michelle Knezvik's favorite song bringing us back in here today on the program.
I just realized something. Is country bluegrass the people who sang this?
I believe that is the genre of the music, is it not?
Oh. Well, bluegrass is a Kentucky thing.
It's the band Country and Western. Yes. Very good.
Well, on that note, peace it out.
You know what I was going to say is there any way to mash up Rocky Top with the R&S Wood Flooring song? I mean, you'd be
in hog heaven over there.
Out.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Your two favorite jams.
Be good stuff.
And Dixieland Delight.
Yeah. Just really get in there.
Trio.
Is this country and bluegrass? Yeah.
Oh, you know what I like? This band called Rock and Roll. My goodness, they're good.
Okay, also don't have country bluegrass music in New York. Never heard of that genre. Text line, help me out.
Bluegrass is awesome. And by the way,
no wonder they're so miserable up there. My goodness.
The Ryman, I believe, is the birthplace of bluegrass. Am I correct?
I believe you're correct.
And bluegrass is fantastic. Yeah. See, I actually draw a hard line. Bluegrass country, I'm not a big country fan. I love bluegrass.
You learn something new every day on this show.
Educational program.
And greengrass.
Good Lord. Educational program here on the show. Thanks to John Adams for joining us in the last segment. Tennessee kicking things off tonight against Ball State. Joe Rexroad, you'll be there. Live and in person for the game tonight at Neyland Stadium. There's a really interesting part of this season and this team for me that I feel good about heading into the season, but I do wonder. We've talked about this a little bit before with Hendon Hooker. I mean, he was pretty darn good last year. 31 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He threw for almost 3,000 yards. And as John pointed out, he didn't start the first 2 games of the year. So the question is, How much better can he be this year? And what's realistic in terms of how much better he can be this year? I mean, we've talked about the TD to interception ratio, 31-3. I think it's going to be pretty hard to be better than that with Hendon Hooker this year, but that doesn't necessarily mean he can't have a better season. What are your expectations for Tennessee's quarterback, which I'm trying to think about, like, the last time you felt this good about quarterback heading into a season? I mean, Dobbs is in the conversation for sure, but I think, like, what we saw last year, it was probably a higher level of quarterback play than even Dobbs had, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's interesting. I mean, I compare the two situations. I think 6 years ago going into that season, first of all, Tennessee was the favorite in the SEC East. You know, it's easy to forget that sometimes, but that's the case.
Yep.
And frankly, Tennessee should have won the SEC East with that team. And the fact that they didn't, it's a big part of why they had a coaching change the next year. And there was a lot of excitement about Dobbs as an all-around player, as a leader for sure. I mean, the ultimate, you know, student athlete, actually a rocket scientist, all these things. But yeah, he didn't play. He didn't have a season like Hendon Hooker had last year. How much of that do you want to give credit to the scheme for? I mean, I think some, but look, Tennessee has a quarterback who is on. I mean, he's a low-key Heisman mention. I've seen that in a few places. The only way that materializes at all is, well, 10-2 minimum, and probably better numbers. You know, you're asking a lot, but like, was Josh Dobbs? I don't remember much of that with him. So then when you'd go back to when, you know, if you
Peyton Manning,
I mean, is that right?
I mean, I don't remember how much like Heisman buzz T. Martin got the year that they won the national title, but it wasn't like Peyton Manning.
I mean, my recall of that, and certainly from afar, but my recall of that is, man, what a loaded team. But, you know, the quarterback, obviously, he just lost the best quarterback ever. So how the heck are you going to, like, what does that look like? And then they win it all. So, yeah, probably that, which is, that's heady stuff to think about that. But the thing is, if he does have these numbers, similar numbers, you know, he's going to leave a mark in less than two full years as a starter all over the Tennessee record books.
Yeah. Well, the other part of this is, and we had a similar conversation with Mike Wright the other day in terms of the running part of this. He had 620 yards on the ground last year and 5 touchdowns. You know, I am interested to see how often they want him running the ball this year. They've got Jabari Small back there. You know, we talked about this, a big part of the Tennessee offense. Yes, they go fast. Yes, they take vertical shots down the field. You know, there's a lot to it with Josh Heupel's offense. Big part of it's running the ball. And, you know, he's obviously got a skill set that is conducive to that at the quarterback position. I do wonder how often they're going to want Hendon Hooker running the ball this year with how important he is to this group.
It's going to be very interesting because it is a big weapon, but I feel strongly, and I'll go back to, you know, like a discussion with Alex Golish. Like, he was talking about how really the last several games of the year, Hendon Hooker was out there playing well, but he was not healthy. He got hurt, especially in the Ole Miss game. That lingered the rest of the year. And they don't want that to happen. I mean, this team is not going to have a great season if you get him hurt. Now, I understand they have a pretty good backup quarterback situation compared to some teams.
Yes,
but
they do.
You don't want that. You've got to keep him healthy.
Hoping to see him tonight.
I think you will see him tonight.
At some point.
Yeah, at some point I think
not
you will.
Not via injury.
Exactly, yes. By design with the Vols up big. And look, if they aren't up big and they have to go way deeper into this game tonight and they're clunky, then there's going to be some level of panic. And look, I mean, it's a pretty good setup for them to have this game, extra time, and then Pittsburgh, although Pittsburgh plays tonight too, and that's going to be really interesting too, to kind of compare these two teams. You're going to see Pittsburgh with a better look against West Virginia, but you want the Vols to roll. You want Milton in there for a lot of the game, and you want certainly in this game for Hooker to not run at all if you can help it. Just run, slide. In some games, that element,
it's going to be necessary.
The only way you're going to have any chance, and you know this. And unfortunately, those are the games that you're more likely to get hurt in too, because you're going against a bunch of pros on the other side of the ball who are just bigger and stronger and faster. But I'd try to limit that as much as possible. He's just really good at it. He's a tremendous runner. I mean, I do. I think that Hooker and Mike Wright are the two, you could argue, the most fun quarterbacks to watch in the SEC. Not saying the best, but the most fun.
You could argue. I mean, Bryce Young's pretty fun to watch. But
he is fun to watch, too. Yes. But it's fun for anyone to be.
It is.
To be in that offense. Nah, not that he's not great. I mean, he's going to be a, what, top 10 pick?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Well, we know this, and we've been talking about this for Tennessee for a long time. I mean, I do think back to the Dobbs era. How many games did they either win or did they make things closer than they probably should have been or make some plays on third down because he was the difference? Like, you need that in college football. And Hendon Hooker, when we start talking about some of these toss-up games like LSU and Pittsburgh and – I don't know if you want to put South Carolina on the list, Kentucky. I mean, you can go up and down the list. You need your quarterback to be a difference maker for you. And last year, he was. And if he can be that again this year, I do think that there's maybe a little bit more depth with this team. John Adams talked about it last segment. The offense really wasn't all that talented last year. I think there's more talent. I'm interested to see how they deploy that talent this year on the offensive side of the ball. But like when you start to get through the Pittsburghs and the LSUs and the Floridas and those type of matchups of the world, like you need a difference maker at quarterback, and Tennessee's got that this year. And that's why, and we'll get to predictions here in just a few minutes. That's why I think there's a lot of optimism about this group. It's because of who they have at quarterback heading into this year.
See, but I will say on that point, I mean, Tyon Evans is super talented, and he's gone. Bayless Jones is. He's going to hang around the league, at least as a returner. I think some of these guys coming in could end up – I don't know about running back. I mean, Tyon Evans was freaking good.
Pretty good,
man. At receiver
– I like the two freshmen at running back.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and Dylan Sampson is one of the guys I'm interested in. Like, tonight, if it goes the way Tennessee wants it to go, I'm really interested to see who's next in at receiver. And if they can get any sort of plays made, confidence built with some of the young guys. And then Dylan Sampson – from day one of camp, I was like, watch that guy. And from things I'm hearing, there's some excitement around him. So what if you get him like a good quarter of play tonight? And if you can get some of those guys weaved in, then you could be a more complete offense.
We'll continue the conversation on the Vols. Take your thoughts on Hendon Hooker. We'll also get to our predictions for the Vols this season coming up next as well. Speaking of college football, FanDuel wants you to be ready for game day when college football kicks off this week. Right now, new customers can get $150 in free bets guaranteed for week one. Just place a $5 bet and you can get $150 in free bets, win or lose. I've talked to you about Tennessee. I'm going with the Vols in this game, obviously. There's an interesting one over the weekend as well. Give me Utah to cover the spread against Florida as well on the road. I really like their chances heading into that game. But you take it any way you want to take it. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. The app is so easy to use. They're always hooking you up with great odds. And when you win, you'll get paid quickly as well. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Sign up with promo code ROB and place a $5 bet to get $150 in free bets guaranteed to kick off the college football season. Once again, that promo code is Rob. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell tomorrow for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz presented by National Playmakers Academy. From 6 to midnight, they'll preview the big games and then take you through the night of high school football around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz presented by National Playmakers Academy on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, talking Vols as they are set to kick off their season tonight against Ball State. Mason on YouTube says, Vanderbilt's probably 2 miles from your station. UT's over 3 hours away. They've split 5-5 over the last decade. All Nashville media does is make fun of Vanderbilt and pump up every aspect of UT. This is from Mason on YouTube.
Okay. Well, let's see. We had Clark Lee on yesterday.
GB Joe. We did have Clark Lee on yesterday.
I think we've talked about Vanderbilt every day this week, and their win over Hawaii. So I think there's two ways you're inaccurate. Also, this whole like 3 hours away, they're here. Look,
I got news for you. There are more people around here who care about Tennessee than Vanderbilt. I'm sorry if that upsets you, but that's the truth.
It is the truth.
I mean, technically, Kentucky's 3 hours away.
Yeah, they got a lot of country bluegrass up there.
By the way, this is I totally didn't even intend to do this, but I have a story today about Trey Flowers, who committed to Kentucky for baseball, and then Mark Stoops blew it with him in recruiting.
Oh, boy.
I'm just saying.
Oh, boy.
It's kind of a fail by Mark Stoops. Very, very disappointed in Mark Stoops.
Well, that is your confirmation that Joe is, in fact, a Vols fan.
There we go.
No, I'm just telling you what happened.
GB Joe.
I didn't know this story. Just saying. Yeah, look, Vanderbilt's important. There are a lot of people care about Vanderbilt. But I would argue vehemently that Tennessee Volunteers football is by far the most popular and followed sports team in this state, and I would also argue that it will always be the case. Well, I shouldn't say always. I mean, who knows what's going to happen, but am I wrong on this?
No. But I've loved talking about Vanderbilt this week. They smoked Hawaii.
Yes.
It's awesome.
I'm all in on Vanderbilt becoming competitive and those teams having good games. They were 5-5, by the way. They were 5-5 before last year, and they had both scored 273 points in those 10 games. And last year was another blowout, and it's kind of even with Tennessee not being very good lately, it has trended back toward Tennessee blowing out Vanderbilt. We'll see if Clark Lee can change that moving forward, but it's kind of an indictment of where things went at the end of Derek Mason, that even in the Pruitt era, it's like, oh, now they're just getting beat. I think it's three straight blowouts here,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I got another texture that says, can we get some Bama love too? Probably more Bama fans here than Tennessee.
I don't agree with that.
There's not more Bama fans here than there are Tennessee fans.
But there are a lot of Bama fans.
There are a lot of Bama fans here.
I mean,
I don't think people quite realize how many Tennessee fans are in this state. There's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Like, Bama has a,
Also, parents, that's the one thing Bama does. That's the one thing that Bama's missing out on. Not enough love given to that program.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
We talk some Bama too. Can't talk about everybody.
Well, here's my prediction for you. Here's my Bama love. They're going to win the national title this year. Is that good enough?
Yeah. I'm with you. They're gonna rebound from the crushing disappointment of their young rebuilding team.
Yeah, the rebuilding year they had last year, according to Saban, losing in the national championship game.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll rebound from that this year.
If they don't win every game this year and win it all, I don't know.
You'll do a 4-hour show with Jared?
No. I can't make a car washing promise because I owe like several of them, right? Yeah.
I'll take an interior car wash, actually.
Yeah, just kidding.
I did not promise that.
So as you look at Tennessee's schedule, beginning tonight against Ball State, we've gone through the games. There are some very interesting ones, especially next week's a massive game for Tennessee as they take on Pittsburgh. What is your expectation? What do you predict happens with this Tennessee team this year? I'll start with me. I got to go on 8-4. I think the idea that they're going to go 10-2 to me, I'm not saying it can't happen, but there's a lot of momentum out there for like 9-3, 10-2. And I think that's going to take a whole lot of things to go right for Tennessee. I still worry about the defensive side of the ball. I understand they have a prolific offense. At some point, you are going to need to make some stops along the way, and I wonder whether or not this team can do that. Now, if they can, and the defense is better than I think it can be, or than I think it is, then maybe you're cooking with gas and you can get to 9 wins here. But you know, there's a lot of toss-up games on the schedule. There's Pittsburgh. There's LSU. I understand Florida's not very good, or we don't think they're very good this year, but it's Tennessee and Florida. It's much like Tennessee-Kentucky the other way. Like, Kentucky's a toss-up game. I have no clue what South Carolina is going to be like this year with Spencer Rattler at quarterback. So the idea that they're going to win all those toss-up games, I just can't buy. I think we know what's going to happen against Georgia and Alabama. They're going to lose those two games. So I've got them going 8-4 this year. I think they're going to beat Pittsburgh next week, and that'll be a massive win for Josh Heupel and company. I don't see him beating LSU on the road. I know it's Brian Kelly's first year. That's a tough place to go win on the road. And I think there's a chance. I don't know if I want to say this publicly. I think there's a chance that they slip up to Kentucky this year. I think there's a chance.
I'm going to need that repeated.
I think there's a chance.
Well.
Ask me again the week of the game. But
yeah.
I think there's a chance.
Well, let me go to
8-4 is what I've got them going.
Yes.
Well, I'm going 8-4 too. And I actually picked every game last week at this point. I go to my score pick, October 29th, Kentucky and Tennessee. You ready?
Yeah.
Kentucky 38, Tennessee 37. So you can't be calling me GB Joe.
A 1-point game.
I love you guys so much.
See? we're not going to be just big homers on this show. Listen,
all right, let me switch. Tennessee's going to beat Kentucky and they're going to lose to Florida.
Listen, I will say, full disclosure.
That would be more following history.
Full disclosure, I have Kentucky beating Georgia and losing to Tennessee.
Wow. Okay. That's an interesting one. Yeah, I think they're going to get Florida, but I agree with you on LSU. I just think that's a lot to ask. It would be a huge, huge win. I think they can hang in the Georgia and Alabama games pretty well. I think they have a chance. I think it would be disappointing if it's just complete annihilation. Georgia just sent their whole defense to the NFL. It's on the road. But, you know, in the Tennessee-Alabama game last year, I'm excited for that game at Neyland Stadium. And honestly, I can't say I've been excited for a Tennessee-Alabama game, honestly, in a long time.
Well, I don't know that Tennessee's going to get totally annihilated at any point this year. I'd be disappointed to a certain degree if that happened. Now, when you start to get into Alabama and Georgia, but especially Bama this year, those things can get off the rails pretty quick. So I don't know what's going to happen there. You know, Will Anderson may just totally take over defensively, and there's nothing Tennessee can do. So I don't know. But I think that they will be competitive in those big-time matchups this year. It's just hard for me to believe that Tennessee – I don't think Tennessee talent-wise is good enough yet to where all these toss-up games that people are talking about, they're just going to win all of them. Like it'd right. be very surprising to me that they're winning every one of those toss-up games this year, and they're 10-2 at the end of the year.
I agree. And you mentioned South Carolina. That's one of those games that you don't want to be a toss-up game, but might be closer than you think. The thing about last year is, honestly, and I know people laugh at this, especially Alabama fans on the text line, because it ended up 52-24, it completely got away from them. And that was almost three quarters of right there step for step with Alabama in Tuscaloosa. The only game where, like, for most of the game, it was just like they were just overmatched clearly was that Georgia game at home, which started really well for them. But, you know, that was the national champion. So there was one game last year where it was like they were just totally outclassed basically the whole game.
Which I think is a credit to Josh Heupel and his staff.
It is absolutely credit, but it's just, you know, it's just the schedule is brutal, and I'm with you. It's just so hard. I know every fan base at this time has those 3, 4, 5 games, and you always want to hope, yeah, you know, we'll pull that out, but I just don't think that's realistic. 8-4 would be, to me, pretty good, and that's what I think they're going
to
be.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jason from Murfreesboro. Jason, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
Hello. Hey, I'm definitely surprised that y'all think that we're going to only go 8-4 this year. There's going to be a lot of games that are on toss-ups that we're going to take care of this year.
Hey, thanks for the call, Jace. I mean, look, they very well could. They could win some of these toss-up games. Look, if they end up 9-3 or better this year, it's a massive success for Josh Heupel.
Yes.
Like, I think there is a certain segment of the Tennessee fan base right now that will be disappointed if they go 8-4 this year. And my question is, like, do you realize where this team was? They're 7-6 last year. It was a great first season for Josh Heupel. If they go 8-4 and then you get to a bowl game, you win, you're 9-4. Like, I will sign up for that right now if I'm a Tennessee fan. That is a good year. That is progress. Progress is what you're looking for.
Yeah. Look, it starts early. That game at Pittsburgh, I'm fascinated to see. Pittsburgh has a new OC, new quarterback. They lost their star receiver. They're still really good. Don't fool yourself. That's a team some people think is a top 15-ish kind of team, and you're going to their place in week two.
Some people think they're in the college football playoff.
That's right. That's right. Desmond Howard picked that, didn't he? My goodness. So right away, you've got one of those games. I got them winning that game, but it's a toss-up. And, you know, look, some of this is like, is Hooker taking another step? And then can that defense find a couple more stops a game?
We'll continue the conversation on Tennessee. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win. Play now at thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Talking Vols as they open their season tonight. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Matt in White House on the text line says, with Tennessee, everyone talks about the defense being the main concern. But is there a chance Tennessee's offensive scheme is figured out by SEC defenses in year two and not nearly as prolific? This coming from Matt in White House. That is an interesting question. There's tape out there now on Hendon Hooker and Cedric Tillman and this Josh Heupel offense at Tennessee. How much of a concern is that to you, Joe Rexrow, that maybe there's some figuring out of this system that takes place?
I totally understand the question and the thought process there. I don't think that's a huge concern. You know, look, I think that there is a difference in going back to Golish. I mean, he's talked about this. We've talked about this. There is a difference in his mind. Like, he looks at defensive coordinators in terms of, he categorizes them, defensive coordinators who have actually played against us or not. And so he sees definitely a difference there because, everybody watches film, everybody can try to replicate things that they're going to see, and they probably do a lot of the same things. But when you actually do then play against it, you have a little bit better feel for that. That said, a lot of what they do is secretive. It's just they do it really well, right? I'm blown away when you really watch it, when you watch it executed like this. And I saw a similar thing up close when I watched Baylor in the Cotton Bowl in 2014, 2015. Watching this offense up close, when you see the ability to just line up, never have a false start, never have an illegal formation. And it's not never. Obviously, sometimes you have those mistakes, but so clean and then just so just relentless with the execution. And then on top of that, I mean, you got to have good players, right? You got to have good plays called. You got to have good game plan going in. All these things are, like, none of that stuff has anything to do with familiarity. So, like, I think it helps any of these defensive coordinators who now have seen them. There's some edge there. And one thing Golish did mention is, does that change us in the first quarter? Because obviously last year they jumped on people so well, it was almost like in some of the games last year, it took people a little while, and then they adjusted in game.
The Missouri, Georgia. The Missouri and South Carolina games were over at the end of the first quarter last year.
And they're just ripping off huge runs, and it's like – and so some teams can't adjust and are just incapable. Georgia was maybe an example last year. Like, what, I think the first two drives – the first drive was like, boom, touchdown, right? And then I want to say
– I think they got a field goal.
Then like they got a field goal in their second drive, so they moved well. And then it was like, okay – this is what it is. You've seen it. Now you've gotten accustomed to speed. Now dominate like you do in every game because you're one of the best defenses I've ever seen in college football. So that's them. But I don't think like the familiarity element is all that big of a deal. If Tennessee executes and continues to – because I think last year what was lost a little bit in scheme, speed and all that was play calling, game planning, which I think is very, very good between Heupel and Golish.
There are two things about the offense operationally that really intrigued me to begin the year. One is the speed of it. Look, they were fast when they started last year, in the Bowling Green game, but I think a lot of that was also they were fast relative to what we saw the year before with Pruitt, which was like, you know, a wagon with no operational wheels out there running. I do think that the tempo picked up. They got quicker in their operation as the year went on. Can you start that way this year? You should be able to with Hooker as the quarterback. You know, there are some questions on the offensive line, but you've got some experience at receiver coming back. Like you should be able to start and be able to run your tempo at full speed to begin this year. But number two, off of that, I also think there are going to be some games this year. We talked about some of the swing games or the pick'em games. There are going to be times this year where if you're Tennessee, you got to protect a lead and you're up 7 points with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Can you operate your offense and also kill it down a little bit and take some more time off the clock? I thought there were some times last year, and the Florida game stands out to me at the last part of the half, where clock management wasn't great from Tennessee, and it's a major shift when you're trying to go as fast as you can all the time, and then you're trying to have to try to kill the clock and protect the lead. Can they do a better job of that this year? Because I think they're going to be in some situations where they're going to have to.
I think that's like the only big like football argument I've ever had with David Ubben, and I understand your system is your system, and you're just, but it's, and you don't want the defense to get set, but sometimes you got to take the 25 seconds that you need, and you can do more damage with it. And so I think that was that there were a couple moments last year, absolutely, where I think Heupel played that wrong. And also, I will add to what you said, short yardage. You got to be better in short yardage. Can you be better in short yardage? Those are huge situations, and that was costly at times for them last year too. On the point of them coming out right away and being ready, let's go to a Vrabel pet phrase. You know, players, not plays. I mean, just Hooker and Tillman, and obviously they had good chemistry. Well, Milton and Tillman had chemistry early, and then Hooker did too. But think about what that should mean when you go through that year and then the full off season, and you know you are the starting quarterback and you are the number one receiver.
Yeah.
I expect that to look good from the start, unless Ball State's going to sell out to stop Tillman, and I don't think we're going to see that.
Well, I think they could probably try to sell out to stop Tillman, and they probably still won't be able to. I mean, that's what you're hoping for tonight if you're a Tennessee fan. If you're – this is – I hate to start talking this way because once it's 6 minutes left in the third quarter tonight and the score is 35-31, you're like, oh, God, what's going on around here? But tonight to me is really about, okay, where is this team operationally? What does the defense look like? Can they dominate both lines of scrimmage like we talked about yesterday? And if so, what's kind of the baseline of how you feel of where they're at as they head into the Pittsburgh game? Like, the Pittsburgh game is massive for this team. It really is. And that was one that, quite frankly, they let get away from them last year. And it was a good year for Heupel last year, but they should have won that Pittsburgh game last year. There's no question about it. And we can go and revisit the Jover throws and all that stuff. But you've got an opportunity to go on the road. And I think Pittsburgh's going to win tonight. I think they're going to take care of business against West Virginia. And you're talking about a top 20 team that you're going on the road against. Like, it's been a long time since Tennessee has been able to pile up wins like that on the road, top 20 teams. This is a good litmus test tonight just to see where they are operationally. They need to come out and dominate tonight. And if they don't come out and dominate tonight, I think you're going to see a lot of concerned Tennessee fans. Now, that doesn't necessarily, you know, it's the transitive property of college football. If they dominate tonight, it doesn't mean that they're going to be great next week against Pittsburgh. And if they're sluggish tonight, they may come out and look great next week against Pittsburgh. I don't know. But if you're a Tennessee fan, with what they have coming back tonight, they're a 35.5-point favorite. They should dominate from start to finish tonight.
Yeah, agree. And there's a lot of individuals who are key. I know we're up against it, but Juwan Mitchell is a guy I'm very interested in tonight. Again, Tamarian McDonald talked about him yesterday to go with those safeties as the new star. Any of those defensive linemen really flash? Like, you know, what kind of shape and activity are you getting out of Mari Thomas and Elijah Simmons? Two guys who I think have a ton of talent. A lot of individuals who are – and that's what it should be, is look at individuals without worrying about the – the final score. By the way, speaking of Bama fans, our coworker Andrew Chester, he sent us this text last night. Tennessee's gone the longest in the whole SEC without a win over a top 10 team. Is that what it was? It's disappeared now from my text message.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Did you know that? Did you know that?
I think I did, yeah.
Okay.
It's been a long time.
Joe made it disappear. GB Joe.
It's been a long time.
I know. I wanted to read it on the air, and it's not here anymore. Is it still in your phone?
Yeah.
So he didn't like – okay.
He didn't make it vanish? No, he did not.
Okay. By the way, who stole my charger?
My buddy Jay, going back to the discussion of quarterbacks for Tennessee, when's the last time like you felt this good about the quarterback situation heading in to a season? Jay on Twitter tells me, Nathan Peterman, last quarterback to get this much excitement out of Rocky Top.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Did we overlook Peterman?
Couldn't believe he made the NFL. Really good. And was around for multiple years.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, he may still be around. I don't know where Nathan Peterman is right now.
I don't know for sure that he isn't.
Let's see. He is. Oh, well, of course he is. A quarterback for the Chicago Bears of the National Football
League.
Oh, my
goodness.
Oh, boy.
Like Mike Tomczak. Steve Fuller.
Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans. Welcome more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, including some very good news for the Titans yesterday as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.